sit right down. Keep your hands up. Keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on? It is another Wednesday afternoon Knockout Radio / hyphen Talking Sports / .. Knockout Radio coming to you live from Torta Pizza, I know you'd like to say do.
It's French.
88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. We broadcast here each and every Wednesday, with the exception of when I'm on the road.
You do broadcast live from the road.
I just booked my next flight.
And you're going to?
I will be in Las Vegas, Nevada for Khabib versus Conor McGregor.
I've heard of those guys before.
I'm thinking about going up to New York City next Thursday for the press conference. From what I've been told, Dana White will be there.
Okay.
Khabib will be there. Conor will be there. And the Dolly may be there as well, because it will be coming to you from Madison Square Garden. A lot to talk about, a lot of MMA stuff to get to, a lot of local sports. Stevie Y stepping down. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as picked by you in the Survivor leg,
yes,
defeat the New Orleans Saints. I was at that game.
Such as the Buccaneers, I am undefeated this season.
Yes, you are. A lot of news coming out of One Buck. I went to the unveiling of the new bar number 76.
I saw that today.
76 different brands of brew.
Brew.
Yeah.
So beer for everybody.
A lot of different stuff. Let me tell you, let me try to run down what we're going to attempt to do today.
Let's do it.
Just the interview-wise. Not all the other things. I want to talk about some bands, a lot of cool stuff to get to. Some giveaways we need to break some news. Dean Thomas momentarily will be coming on the program. As you know, the trainer of Tyron Woodley. I thought it was super cool about the black belt and the emotion of Woodley. And you know, as somebody who has trained in mixed martial arts, as have I, what it's like. We don't know what it's like to get a black belt.
Right.
I didn't mean to imply that.
Of course.
We know what goes into training. And I know what I put in just to get my three stripes on my white belt.
Of course.
I cannot imagine what it takes and how many stripes and letters and all that stuff. So Dean Thomas coming up. Alex Nicholson fights in New Orleans for the Professional Fighters League. He is in the heavyweight tournament. He has to fight not once but twice in New Orleans. It's the Friday before the Khabib fight. So we're going to talk to Alex. I don't know if Jared Brooks is coming on or someone posing as Jared Brooks or Jared Brooks posing as someone else.
That was the oddest interview of my career.
Mine as well.
For a guy who likes to talk often, I was speechless during that interview. So fingers crossed for this one.
I've been assured Jared Brooks will be on.
We are FCC, so hopefully.
Well, we know that. Hopefully he knows this.
I hope so.
Very interesting Jared Brooks interview before his second to last fight. Steps up on 4 or 5 days notice, gets the victory. We'll talk to Jared. Justin Frazier fights tonight on The Ultimate Fighter. This is week 3. So far, Kelvin Gastelum's team is 2-0. Some stuff I want to get to with Justin,
okay. You
know, and it's interesting. I was just reading something, and we all know this, but Mark Hunt and a lot of people very upset that Brock Lesnar is getting this title shot. And Mark Hunt has been very vocal in the fact, what do rankings mean? And I agree. The rankings are a joke. It's not about rankings. It's about selling. It's about selling, marketing, making money.
Of course.
As we all know, I was one of the media people that were involved in the rankings, and I am no longer for numerous reasons, but the rankings mean nothing. Justin Frazier was, I believe, the 7th heavyweight picked. He fights the number 1 seed tonight.
Okay.
A lot of pressure on him.
Big pressure.
So we can't talk about the fight because it hasn't happened yet.
Sure.
But we'll talk about up to that point. One of my favorite charity events of the year.
Okay.
I can probably name on one hand my favorite events that I'm involved in and the favorite of charity events that I know of. Obviously sitting at the top, and it's ironic that Titus O'Neil has been involved in both. Right at the top is the one I've been involved in for many and combine the two words. The Make-A-Wish Kevin Carter Foundation charity event in Nashville. Last year was the inaugural for the Tampa Bay Food Fight.
Okay.
The second Tampa Bay Food Fight is coming up on the, I told you the date, 18th?
Tuesday.
Yeah. I think it's the 18th or 19th. But we will have Titus O'Neill with us next week.
That's exciting.
It's going to be cool. But tonight we are going to have one of the chefs on, and it is the 16th. October 16th.
October 16th, the food fight. That's where they bring in chefs from around
the
Bay.
Not very bright. Right here's the paperwork.
You could have just read that.
I could have just read it off. It's Tuesday, October 16th at Armature Works. So we're going to have one of the chefs. He was involved in the battle last year. Okay. They have a bunch of restaurants there. We're going to give tickets away. Unbelievably cool event.
Can't wait.
And then towards the end of the program, Eric Baby-Faced Assassin Walker will be on, who is on Friday's episode of The Contender. So it's the boxing version. Yeah, so totally packed. So if you got something to say.
I mean, I have the bad news for you, though. But just going through the list, you're already out of time.
All right, we'll see everybody next week. First and foremost, I mentioned who we're going to start this program off with. And a very good friend of the program, a guy hangs out in Florida a lot, but you never know where he's going to show up. But he is showing up on Knockout Radio right now, Dean Thomas. Dean, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you, Randy?
We appreciate your time. When did you get back? You were in Texas not too long ago.
Yeah, I was in Texas. I got back Sunday, and by Monday I was on the mats working again. Listen, it's a nonstop affair for me.
Well, you know, you have so many athletes, and I was going to ask you, with what went down on Saturday and Tyron Woodley, and still you're a champion, how long can you celebrate it? Or is it kind of like in the NFL, that was yesterday and today is today and you have to move on?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the way it is in my life. It's like whatever happens, and I was telling some people in the camp, I was like, listen, whatever happens, we got to get back to even keel because, you know, you just can't ride off of like one victory, or if you have a loss, you can't let that get you down. So, you know, we all celebrated that night, and then an hour afterwards, I was ready to leave and get back to work. You know, I let Tyron celebrate a little longer. Some of the other guys in camp could celebrate a little longer, but for me personally, I celebrate like an hour, and then afterwards, just right back into the laboratory.
As much as I want to talk about the fight, and we will briefly talk about, you know, how awesome Tyron looked that night, I want to talk about what was very emotional. And emotional to me, you know, as training in some Brazilian jiu-jitsu and training in some mixed martial arts, was the awarding of the black belt. You know, talk about that. Talk about the emotions of not only Tyron receiving it, but you giving it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a special night. I mean, and at some level, I kind of feel bad. I hope that I didn't overshadow his performance by doing that, because a lot of people are talking about him getting the black belt. But I mean, at the end of the day, that is something that he's wanted. And I feel like he earned it about 2 years ago, but he just never was able to get it. But you know, it was, the timing was right. And, you know, I told myself, I said, and I just had a feeling that he was going to submit Darren Till. And I gambled on that, and I went and I bought a belt, and I said, I'm going to give him his belt if he submits Darren Till, or if he wins the fight. But I just had a feeling that he would submit him, and everything worked out. I mean, it was like fate, it was like God's will, and everything worked out, and I'm just so happy and proud of him.
I don't think it did take away from the fight and his accomplishments, and this will be the last question of this segment of talking about the belt, and then I do want to talk about the fight. Let our listeners who are not mixed martial arts fans, who have maybe not followed this sport, you know, as long as others, what it takes, how many years, how many nights of practice it takes just to move up the belt system. I have 3 stripes on my white belt, and that's it. What is it like to do to get that black belt?
Well, I mean, you know, the general timeline that they say is anywhere from like 7 to 10 years. And, you know, the thing with getting the belt is it's all a personal thing. It's a personal journey, and everybody gets it for different reasons on how you manifest your Brazilian jiu-jitsu and how you're able to make it, to cultivate it into what you want. And for Tyron, he's a guy who was able to use his jiu-jitsu, like, not only for, you know, fight purposes, but he also runs an academy with a jiu-jitsu program. I mean, he's a true martial artist, and not a lot of people get that from him, you know, because they see him, you know, he raps and he does all this other stuff. And, you know, he does have an extensive wrestling background, but at the end of the day, he's a true martial artist, and he really wants to be known for that. So for him to be able to get the belt, and I did want the world to see it, just to let them know that this guy is a martial artist and not just a fighter. He is a martial artist. But again, he's extremely honored to have that belt from me. And I was just pleased that he said that he was honored to have it from me. At some level, I was kind of like, I hope he didn't want to get it from somebody else, and I'm making a fool of myself here.
We know better than that. Is it a shame where we have now moved to in the mixed martial arts world, in that it's not just two good fighters or two great fighters that are coming together, that, you know, you have to play these roles and you have to, you know, say things that you don't necessarily mean to get a fight, and then everything is good and cool after?
Yeah, I'm almost surprised that fans and the industry still falls for that. It's almost like it's the same thing in every fight. It's like you talk trash, you fight, then you respect each other afterwards. It's like the same. And I don't understand why we have to talk trash. I mean, if you're a good fighter and you're there to put on a show and fight, that should speak for itself. I don't think you should have to talk the talk. I think you're such a fight and do the talk. And I think that the trash talk and everything like that actually distracts and takes away from the martial arts aspect of it. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I do like the format of PFL, because it's bracketed, and these guys don't have to sell themselves to the fight. If you win, you move up.
Hey, Dean, this is Nicky Pizza Man, and you know, along those same lines.
Matt McClellan. Come on, Matt.
But I go by Nicky Pizza Man. But my question is just along those lines of, you know, Darren didn't really get a shot until he beat Cerrone in Poland. So, you know, do you think there are other guys in the top 10 that were more deserving of a title shot on Saturday than Darren Till?
Not really. You know, not necessarily. Only because, like, there's a lot more factors involved with it. It's, you know, there's the factors of, you know, who's available, who's ready, and things like that. Like, the only other person that I could have said that deserved it that was available may have been Usman. But for whatever the reason was, maybe he, you know, maybe he thought he had another fight coming up. You just never know. There's a lot of different factors involved that the public doesn't see, that goes behind the doors, that kind of determines who gets that next shot. But, you know, they really wanted Tyron to fight. They needed a main event for that card. Tyron stepped up to the challenge. Darren Till stepped up to the challenge. And we thought it worked out well.
Yeah, well for sure. And go back to what you said, and I fell for it. You know, I'm guilty of it. You would think I've been around long enough to know. I fell for it, but I think it helped sell this particular fight, because everybody jumped on, whether you like or dislike the act. You're tuning in. It's the Ric Flair thing. You want to either watch him win, or you want to watch somebody, you know, that talks like that lose.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly get that. I do get that. But, I mean, I want to get to the point in the game where people can remember fighters by the way they fought and not by what they said before the fight. And I mean, that may be just unrealistic thinking to me, but, you know, as a martial artist and as a man who's been in this sport for a long time, who's dedicated his life to it, you know, it's kind of what I want. At least if you are going to talk the talk, be creative and be funny. And as I say that, I think of Conor McGregor. I have no problem with Conor does, because I think he's very creative. I think he's funny. He's entertaining. But the problem comes when these guys, they step up, and you could tell that they're not being themselves. They sound fake and phony. And I think it just does the sport a disservice.
You know, back to when we first met, back, I remember people telling me that they didn't like to fight you and your lookalike, Eve Edwards, because you were such nice guys, because they didn't want to fight. Everybody liked the two of you so much that they did enjoy fighting you, but they knew it would be a good fight and they had to do it for their career. That was the day that it used to be.
Yeah, and I like those days. I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, I'd never had a problem with a person I fought. In fact, the way I look at it is if I fight you, then we're both going to make money, and I would probably want to like you to help you make money. So other than that, if I don't like you, I'm probably not going to want to fight you, because I don't want to see you make any money. So, you know, I treat this like any other sport. Like, you know, LeBron James is friends with other guys in the NBA that are not on his team. And that's the way I always look at it. I'm friends with everybody in the sport. I coach against guys that I like sometimes. You know, it doesn't always make me feel good, but I have to do it. It's part of my job. It's part of the game.
I get it, and I totally understand what you're saying, but there's still a big difference between dunking over somebody and punching somebody in the face or putting them in an arm bar or, you know, a rear naked. It's a little different.
It's very different. It is very different. But, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, you got to understand, like, this is what these guys do. And, you know, it's just a sport that they choose to engage in. But at the end of the day, like, nobody says that you have to allow a person to punch you in the face. I mean, you are allowed to block sometimes. So that's what I always tell people. If you don't want this guy to hurt you, block.
I think you brought it up, Randy, you know, Eve, like, whose name is mispronounced the most, yours or his?
I don't know. Probably his. I don't know, though.
Well, do you still correct people, or do you have your camp do it, or you just let it go?
Nah, most times I just let it go. Actually, I corrected Brandon Schaub last night, actually, because he called me Ben and I had to correct him. But most times I don't even correct people.
That's awesome. Well, just so you know, we always correct when they pronounce both of your names wrong. Before I let you go, what's going on comedy-wise? When's your next stand-up? Where can people see you? If they don't want to see you in the gym and watch or feel you punch them in the face, where can they come and see you perform?
Well, I will be performing, actually, tomorrow night in Delray Beach at Arts Garage. I'll be doing an improv performance, and then Saturday in West Palm Beach, I'll be doing another improv performance at the Bob Carter's Actors Rep. So, got two shows this week, and then after that, not sure, man. I'm just back in the gym now, just trying to get these guys prepared. I got a lot of fighters with fights coming up, and I'm just want to make sure that we continue our streak, and you know, I want to see my friends make money.
I know that you don't get nervous at anything you do, but what puts you more, you know, beads of perspiration or whatever, going into fight, training and cornering somebody at a fight, or standing up at an improv?
Probably. It depends on the magnitude of the fight. I will say that with this fight with Darren Till, I was pretty nervous because we knew how dangerous Darren Till was. So we were pretty nervous. It's weird how that works out. Like the fights that you're most nervous for are the ones you end up doing better than, I think. You know, I remember when I fought Jeremy Stevens back in, it was like UFC 71 or whatever it was. And I remember being incredibly nervous for that fight, but I ended up submitting him and getting a fight of the night bonus. So I think that nerves are something good. So I always have to try to remember that. But I think that the magnitude of the fight, if it's a really big fight, I get more nervous for that than actually doing comedy.
Chance of us seeing Woodley versus GSP?
I hope so. God, I hope so. I think that will be one of the biggest fights in welterweight history if that does happen. But it's up to George. But, you know, I don't think George would want to do that. I think George is kind of – I don't think he has much fight left in him. He's a great competitor, but he wasn't always a great – when I say fighter, just like a dog in the cage. He was never really a dog. He was always a great competitor. But I don't think he has the dog to accept the fight with Tyron Woodley.
What final question for you, and as always, appreciate your time. What one fight coming up are you looking forward to the most?
Amanda Nunes and Cyborg. Definitely looking forward to that one. It's one that I think Amanda Nunes has to fight her best fight to win that fight. But because she's motivated, she's wanted this fight. And I've seen her fight when she didn't necessarily even want to take the fight. But she wanted this fight the same way she wanted the Ronda Rousey fight. She wanted this fight. So I want to see her be able to perform at this level against the best female fighter on the planet right now, and that's Cyborg. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that fight.
Not that I was trying to start anything, but I was watching WWE when Ronda first went over there. And then, you know, she won the belt, and they're saying, you know, the world's most dangerous woman or whatever. And I'm tweeting, when did Cyborg join the WWE?
Yeah, tell me about it. I mean, I get it, man. Like, again, it all comes down to that promotion and how you package and how you market things. But I don't ever want to take anything away from Ronda, because Ronda, she put herself out on the line to do something that nobody's ever done before. So congratulations to her. But it's, you know, there's a lot of other people who deserve some recognition as well. So
absolutely. And at the very top of that list is you. You deserve everything that's coming your way. As always, Dean, thank you for your time. We're going to send you some more. Hopefully you got some in the past, but some more 8-Man Strong gear. I'm going to text you to get the address again, and can't wait to see you. I'm sure it'll be very soon.
Oh, thank you very much, man. I'm looking forward to that. I need some more of that.
All right. I'll make sure that it gets sent at the end of the week. Dean, thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
You too. Dean Thomas. We first met, the very first interview that I did with Dean was at a Tampa Bay Buccaneer training camp.
Okay.
In Orlando. So it shows you how long ago it was, training camp in Orlando.
Wow.
And it's very cool to see the success that Dean and Mike Brown, you know, are having down there and with their fighters. And I just saw that Mike Brown is, he has a seminar
Okay.
In Russia.
Oh,
of course that.
Are they going to fight a bear? training with bears over in Russia.
If your name is Khabib.
All right.
So, yeah, it was a pretty interesting fight. You know, Till came out, came right towards Woodley. Bang, down, it's over.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that the trash talking has taken over. You know, it's unfortunate that you need to trash talk to get the fight, to promote the fight. And then afterwards, I don't know if you saw it, Till hugged Woodley's mom.
Okay.
Woodley came over and hugged Till.
Sure.
You know, it's all to sell, you know, and it's a shame.
Sure.
And like Dean said, we continue, me included, to buy into it.
Absolutely.
So I believe that Woodley and our buddy Usman are good friends.
Yep.
That they go out to dinner regularly.
Right.
So there really is no dislike there.
Right.
Brock and Cormier are going to hang out. They're going to train together.
Of course.
You know, privately in the backwoods of Canada.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So the only two guys that truly have a dislike for each other is Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz.
Do they?
I mean, according
to
Tito.
Well, and according to both of them. And I've been there. I've stood next to them. I know. But again.
Is it all for show?
I remember vividly, and then we'll hit this break, being at Tito Ortiz, Ken Shamrock press conference. It was the one where the chair gets kicked and all this stuff happens. And, you know, then they admit later it was all to promote to sell.
Yeah. That's big business.
It is big business. So maybe we ought to do something to sell Knockout Radio.
Well, let's hit this break and share some love with the sponsors.
I think we will do it. We're going to hit a break. As always, this is Knockout Radio brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back with Alan.
I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of time. But I watched the world float to the dark side of the moon. I feel there's nothing I can do.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
Ride in luxury. Go to Tampa Limo and Car LLC.com today. Going to the prom, the airport, or that special night on the town? Call Tampa Limo and Car at 813-415-4576 and ride in luxury. Tampa Limo and Car has a fleet of sedans, SUVs, vans, minibuses, limos, party buses, and the motor coach. Professionally trained and dressed chauffeurs will handle all of your needs. Going to the Bucks game? Go in style. Book online at TampaLimoAndCarLLC.com today.
Clean Energy Massage and Wellness is dedicated to providing you with the highest quality of care and proud to be the official massage and wellness facility of the 2018 Playership. A clinical deep tissue massage from Clean Energy Massage and Wellness can provide the relief from pain and stress. We tailor each session to you and your needs to provide you the best care possible. Conveniently located at 4255 Henderson Boulevard in Tampa, sports massage, deep tissue, acupuncture, medical massage, and much more. Improve your health today. Call 813-769-9280 or go to clinenergywellness.com and go Bucks!
It's time to get back in the holiday spirit, and we are very excited to once again be involved with the Ryan Neese Foundation and the 10th annual Power of Giving Holiday Party presented by the DiBartolo Family Foundation on December 6th at T. Pepin's Hospitality Center. You will enjoy delicious food, open bar, games, celebrity guests, and great entertainment while helping to empower teens to become leaders and impact giving in their communities. To purchase your tickets or to get more information on the Ryan Neese Foundation, please go to www.ryanneesefoundation.com. Experience the power of giving and get your tickets today at www.ryanneesefoundation.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Bob the Beast Sapp, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris. I'm going to knock him out.
Bob Sapp on the longest yard, the remake of the longest yard. Did you even see the Adam Sandler longest yard?
I've not seen that movie.
Oh, you need to. It's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's identical to the first one, but.
So with they have a football movie, they didn't bring in the real Warren Sapp? Like, why bring in Bob Sapp?
Because one's an actor and one's a football player. So it's better to find actors, you know, that can do both. And real quickly, there was a movie made about Dennis Byrd. I think that was his name. Played for the New York Jets. Got paralyzed. Okay. Marty Lyons read to be in the movie. Marty Lyons from the famed sack exchange of the New York Jets read, and they said, "You did a great job. Just we can't see you as a football player." And he didn't get the part. It would kind of be like Alex Nicholson not, you know, getting a part playing a fighter in a movie.
Or a Spartan.
But we do hear him on the radio right now. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. I like how, you know, just chilled you are 3 weeks out from getting two steps closer to $1 million.
Yes, sir.
Kind of like I can picture, knowing you the little bit that I do, I can picture like the old Rocky movie where it was the picture of Mr. T, you know, on the mirror and he looked at it every morning. Do you have like $1 million references all over the house?
I just dream about beating the money out of them. Like when I hit them, I don't see blood anymore. I just see money falling out of their heads. It's just step one, step two, step three, and I'm a millionaire. And I'm not gonna lose, man. Like I'm telling everybody, it's a wrap. They can just send me the check now, man. I'm ready to do this. I'm excited. Going in there like a sniper, man, sniping these guys out.
When can we just get our tickets to the victory party?
Hey, man, there's no tickets. Everybody's welcome.
So you picture money markers all over the apartment. For me, I picture Alex laying on the couch, ready always to take a fight. Literally laying on the couch, ready to walk into an octagon or a squared circle or a cage at any moment because of our interview we had last year with him.
Or a back corner, or really just anything.
But I respect.
Just let me put my cup on. That's all I need. That's all I want. Protect the family jewels. I'll go out there. No mouthpiece. Get off the couch and get the job done.
I love it.
Where are you 3 weeks out? You know, I'm not asking how training is going and all that because I know how much you guys love that question. Just where are you? I mean, are you at 100% peak? Or are you getting to peak? Or are you, honestly, all the time at 100% peak?
I always stay ready to go, man. I've been focusing on recovering my body because I've already fought 7 times this year. You know, these next 3, I'll be going into my million dollar fight with an 8-2 record this year. I mean, come on, man. That's people who have that many fights in their whole career.
Right. No, it's true. No, that's true. Yeah.
I'm mentally prepared. I'm physically doing all the smart things I have to do. I'm still sparring pretty good. You know, me, Doc Ray. I've been focusing on my grappling with Julian Williams. him. And he's training for David Branch, and I'm getting ready for this fight. So I'm working together a lot, and just being smart, man. And, you know, three fights, like I said, step one, step two, step three, and we're in the money. So I'm just staying focused, man, and I'm doing everything that it takes to be ready.
Alex, how do you prepare for the second fight of a night when you haven't had the first fight of the night? And do you go into the first fight not, you know, I don't even know if I can say basketballs to the wall, you know, because you have to win the first fight to get to the second fight, but you have to be, you know, careful that you don't get hurt in the first fight so you can fight in the second fight.
For me, mentally, they're both one fight. I'm just going to look at it that night. That is one fight. Even when I put the guy out, the first guy, when Jack May's head hits the canvas and I finish the job, it's not over. I'm just mentally gets back up and he turns into what I'm going to imagine is the Brazilian Francisco Barroso, who I think will take out Copeland. So once I knock, it's like a video game in my head. I knock Jack May out, he disappears and turns into the other guy. It's still the same fight. So you kill the boss and then you move on to the next around, you know what I mean? That's the way I'm picturing it, man. My job's not done until they're both unconscious and it's one fight.
Has it added more with the fact that you have to prepare for three different guys? You know, we all might think we know who's going to win the, you know, the first fight to fight you in the second fight, but you have to prepare for all three. So does that add more pressure or does it really help because it fills up more time and you don't have to concentrate on just one thing?
I mean, you know, Jack May is the main focus. I mean, and it could be Copeland or it could be Francis. So, you know, mentally, I think, you know, the way that I'm looking at it is if Copeland beats him, thank God, because that's an easy little finish for me. So I'm trying to pick the toughest route for myself as far as that goes. But you got to be ready for all three. Anything can happen. I mean, anything can literally happen in a fight, man. I think as fight fans, we can all agree on that one thing if we can't agree on anything.
Right. No, for sure. And I know that we've talked about this before, and you've had numerous fights, and like you said, you know, you're going to probably hit 10 before the end of this particular year. But when there's this much on the line, does it kind of add to it? Not that you need motivation on any fight, but does it kind of add it as you see all those zeros in the back of your mind?
It helps, man. I have my son, and I'm helping Hannah out with her career as much as I can. More money will just be more time for her to train, and it's everything, the big picture, not just the fighting career. It's, you know, it's our lives as professional athletes, and any career, your goal is to financially set yourself up to where your friends and family and everyone you care about, this life is just a little bit easier, and that money makes life a little bit easier, so I'm going to make sure that I do my job.
Awesome. Well, I cannot wait. I think it's 3 weeks from Friday, right?
Yes, sir. September 29th, Hannah fights. She's the main event in Island Fights up there in Pensacola. And when she wins her fight, she'll get a UFC contract out of that. You know, we've already spoken to the powers that be. So she'll be 4-0. I'm going to go. We're going to leave right from Pensacola and drive the rest of the way up to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where I'm going to get my job done, two men in one night. And then we'll have a little bit of celebrating to do.
Well, just one step at a time, baby. One step at a time. And just remember, and I know you do, and I know your team does, all the fights happen inside the cage in New Orleans, not down Bourbon Street.
Hey, you never know, man. I'm in Academy Sports right now, and if somebody does something stupid, there'll be a fight right here.
Well, then we'll let you go get prepared for that. Alex, as always, buddy, thank you very much for your time. We'll talk to you again just before the fight. We'll talk to you after the double win that Friday night, and we'll definitely be there to celebrate when you get that check with a lot of zeros and a one in the front.
Yes, sir. God bless you guys. Thank you for your time.
All right, Alex. And yes, you do get another package from 8-Man Strong for coming on the show.
Hey, I like the 8-Man Strong stuff, man. It's always nice.
All right, Alex. Thanks a lot, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Alex Nicholson, back in in it to win it.
Yeah,
in
the PFL. Posse, my red hair. You know, I could be in the Spartan gang, like walking him to the cage with the red mohawk all done up.
I'm going to say no.
No, we should ask him. Like, he's got a budget now with that $1 million.
Well, he's got to win the $1 million first. Well, let's get to the $1 million, and then you still can't ask that
question.
We'll
go on consignment. We'll just... On IOUs.
On IOUs, and okay, all right. He'll give you a couple of the zeros.
But for those of you new to the fighting world, for what Alex has done to be, I think he has, what, 10 fights in a calendar year, or the record for the most fights in
I think
a 12-month period.
Yeah.
So, you know, for that guy to be as active as he is at this point in his career is phenomenal, and all the best to Alex. And is it?
Right around the corner, another couple of minutes, Jared Brooks will come on. And we talked about Alex laying on the couch and getting ready.
Sure.
Well, Jared Brooks wasn't laying on the couch, but he was definitely ready. And you've got to say something about these guys that are willing to do that.
They take a four-day notice and put it all on the line.
Make weight. You know, my thing is, and we were both up in Brooklyn, and a lot of people said, well, Holloway stepped up, but then Holloway couldn't make weight.
Right.
If you're going to step up, if you're going to accept it, make weight.
You got to make weight.
Be close enough to that weight.
You have one job.
Well, but what I'm saying is if you take the fight on a week account,
sure,
that I'm at this weight, I have to be at this weight in 9 days, can I do it?
Well, that's what I spoke to Dr. Lane Norton about yesterday. You know, he's going on the Joe Rogan experience.
Is that Ken Norton's dad?
No.
Okay.
But he's going on the Joe Rogan experience on September 28th to discuss about diets and keto and cutting weight, especially when it comes to fighting.
What's his opinion of keto?
I didn't get that far in the interview with it, but that's a whole other conversation.
You just said he was talking about diets and keto.
He's talking to Joe Rogan about it on the 28th. He's not talking to me about it.
Why not? You know that I'm on keto.
Well, but you're not trying to make weight.
Well, maybe I should be. All right, Jared Brooks coming up momentarily. I forgot we do have another break. We have to step up and thank the people that make this show possible on all the networks that we run. So let's hit this, and then when we come back, the monkey god, Jared Brooks, when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Baxter.
Talk Radio Network.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Clean Energy Massage and Wellness is dedicated to providing you with the highest quality of care and proud to be the official massage and wellness facility of the 2018 Playership. A clinical deep tissue massage from Clean Energy Massage and Wellness can provide the relief from pain and stress. We tailor each session to you and your needs to provide you the best care possible. Conveniently located at 4255 Henderson Boulevard in Tampa, sports massage, deep tissue, acupuncture, medical massage, and much more. Improve your health today. Call 813-769-9280 or go to clinenergywellness.com and go Bucks!
On Saturday, October 13th, the Humane Society of Tampa Bay will host the 2018 Tuxes and Tails Fundraising Gala at the Tampa Convention Center. Nordic Knights will offer an enchanted evening in a wintry land. Join the fun that features a live and silent auction, a cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment featuring adoptable pets, after party, and cigar bar on the waterfront. For more details or to purchase tickets, go to tuxtailstampa.com or humanesocietytampa.org.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is the A-Hole Show. Wes Sims here, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris, my main man.
A lot of things still to get to. We got to talk about Oscar De La Hoya and the announcement of running for presidency.
Yes.
How about that?
He has a chance.
We'll get to all that right now on the phone with us right now. The Monkey God, and I need to find out if we're even allowed to even say that.
Not in politics.
Jared Brooks. Jared, how are you?
Great. How about you guys?
Not too bad. I was ready for the accent, just in case, but we appreciate it. I wanted to get you on for a few reasons, Jared. First and foremost, congratulations on your fight last week, and big ups for taking a fight on short notice, making weight on short notice, going out and performing on short notice. Not a lot of fighters do it. They say they do. They say they can, but they don't. And I wanted to congratulate you as soon as possible on doing that.
Well, I appreciate that, Randy. It means a lot coming from you.
We were talking to Alex Nicholson just a minute ago how, you know, he's ready all the time. He's sitting on the couch. I said, Jared is ready all the time, too. What's it like to always be prepared, always mentally be prepared, always, you know, being close enough on weight that you can take a fight like this on such short notice?
Well, the weight's not an issue. Being mentally prepared, you know, it's just something that happens, you know, 2 days before the fight. Nobody's mentally prepared. I mean, you can get physically prepared, but before the fight, it's just something that you got to pretty much just do, like 2 days out.
Well, but I'm sure there's things that might not be healthy enough to eat, but after a fight, you're like, hey, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go off the diet a little bit. But you really can't if you're not sitting by the phone and waiting, but, you know, hoping that the phone can ring at any time. You can't let yourself get too far out, I would assume.
No, I mean, I always train, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't in too good a shape for this fight compared. I think it's just more of adrenaline, you know what I'm saying, that right. You have to get used to more than just staying in shape. You have to, you know, push yourself adrenaline-wise in order to not have an adrenaline dump in there.
I was talking to your management team right after the fight, and no matter how you think the fight goes down, you think you dominate every round, you hear split decision. What's going through your mind? What are you thinking? Like, oh my God, what judge is there? And do you worry about that, or you just have to let it play itself out?
Like I said, I was put in a pretty rough position going in this fight, short notice on two losses. You know, they could have cut me if I would have lost the fight. But, you know, before that fight, I was like, you know what? Screw it. If I go in and lose this fight, then I still have people that still love me and my whole family, the people that I've met throughout this whole process. I'm still, you know, happy, and I'm even more happy that I got the win. You know what I'm saying? So even though the judge went against me, it's not a big deal at the end of the day for me.
I would assume, and I'm sure you guys all talked about this as well, yeah, you were going in on the two-fight losing streak, and yeah, you could have done other things, but the UFC would have had to have said this guy did step up. you know, win, lose, or draw, you did step up. You did put on a performance. So there has to be that going as well in the back of your mind as all those other things are flying around.
And the UFC is very cutthroat. Nothing against the UFC. I mean, they do things for a reason. But I'm pretty sure they probably would have cut me to losing to Roberto Sanchez.
Well, and let's be honest, it's not just the UFC. I mean, life in general is pretty cutthroat. It could be any organization. It could be any place.
Exactly. Anything can happen. I'm prepared for anything, but I'm just glad that I'm in the organization and, you know, doing what I love for a living.
What was it like, you know, we know the outcome of the fight before this, you know, just to see the video on some of the national news. And I saw you post how you were doing some defense so it wouldn't happen again. And you know, kind of lighthearted in how you took it. Again, compliments on handling it the way you did on that as well. But what was it like seeing it all over the national news?
It was okay. I mean, you know, seeing yourself get knocked out in front of a lot of people is not good, but I mean, publicity is publicity at the end of the day, and it was still a fun process, and I got to show a lot of me, you know, in shape before you know, before I go in. So I think it's not a bad thing at the end of the day. It gave me more publicity than probably even winning the fight, so I'm happy.
Yeah, no, definitely true there. What's next? When would you like to fight again? Not necessarily who would you like to fight, but when?
I would like to fight in Toronto at the end of the year. That would be great to get on that card. Fighting constantly, I'm a wrestler, so you know I'm used to wrestling every weekend. And I know a fight is different. You know, you gotta have a shelf life in this, but my weight's good to where I'm not deoxidizing my brain. You know what I'm saying? So,
what are your thoughts on this whole weight cut process? And in your opinion, what can be done? What should be done? You know, to make it not only better for the fighters, but, you know, better so that fighters make weight and that they're not killing themselves, you know, trying to do it. As a wrestler, you guys have done this your whole life. What do you think? What do you recommend?
Yeah, I think that that when it comes down to the weight cut, that people should just cut a minimum of 10 pounds. Because if you're cutting all the water out of your system, I mean, yeah, you can do mock weight cuts and stuff like that, but if you cut the water out of your system, then you're not going to be able to perform exactly how you want to. I'm just blessed to where I can really eat anything and walk around at 125 pounds. So thank God for that. But, you know, I cut weight in wrestling and stuff like that, and it's just not healthy. It's not healthy on your body. By the time you're 50, you're just going to not feel good. So
I agree with you 100%. Final question for you, a couple of weeks. Khabib versus Conor. Give me your take. Who do you like?
It's such a 50-50 chance. You know, you have Conor where he's just a precision striker. He could catch Khabib coming in at any time. Or you got Khabib taking him down and just beating him. But I think, in my opinion, I just think Conor is more of the mixed martial artist. And he's probably going to come out and show out. So I got to give it to Conor. But I love Khabib. I love his whole team. Those guys are great people.
Jared, thank you very much for your time. Again, congratulations. I'll text you in a little bit. I need your address again so that we can send you a package from Ape Man Strong.
Thank you, Randy, and thank you, Knockout Radio, for having me. And, yeah, I wish you guys nothing but the best. And you guys will see me by the end of the year, hopefully. You guys can look me up on Instagram, @_monkeygod, and Twitter, @_monkeygod. Jared Brooks on Facebook.
Jared, how did you get the nickname Monkey God? Where did it come from?
Because I'm the Monkey God.
All right.
That's where it came from, because he is. Well, we will definitely get you back on before your fight, after your fight. Who knows? Maybe even during your fight. Have a good one.
My man.
All right, Jared.
Hey,
thanks, buddy.
I wish you guys nothing but the best. Thank you.
Same to you as well. That is Jared Brooks, Monkey God, on Twitter, Instagram.
Doesn't need an origin, just Monkey God.
He's the Monkey God.
The evolution of the Monkey God.
I'm the Knockout Radio God.
You are.
I'm thinking about doing and we've seen the shirts before. I saw the shirt at $1, but I think Brock Lesnar has Eat, Sleep, Suplex City, Repeat.
Okay.
So I'm thinking about doing Eat, Sleep, Knockout Radio, Repeat.
Okay.
What do you think?
Nothing original. You're not going to create your own design?
You know, I'm not in the mood to think. Yeah, do you want to think up something?
I'll help you.
Not help me.
I'll
do you want to create something?
I'll create something.
And if I approve it, then I will print it.
Done. We'll run it through the president of the Randy regime, Shane Grossman.
If you want to do that, and if he likes it.
I love his play-by-play. He's on Facebook right now telling what's going on.
That's awesome.
Setting it all up.
If you want to go through the president first. Well, okay. No, here's what you need to do.
Okay.
There is a chain of command. So you put together a couple different mock proofs.
Okay.
Send them to the vice president, Eric in Denver.
Okay.
If Eric in Denver likes any of them,
okay,
or all of them, I doubt he's going to like everything you do, but
right,
whatever he likes, he can then submit to the president.
I have an idea.
Can I finish?
Sure.
Then whatever Eric in Denver likes as the vice president, he will ship it to the president in Shane Grossman. If Shane Grossman likes any of them, then he can send me his selections to me, and then I'll ultimately make the decision.
This will do. Wait.
And no, he does not have to tattoo it on his body.
We'll wait for the hurricane relief. We'll roll up the shirts. We'll throw them out like paper towels like President Trump did in Hurricane Maria.
Why you got to be so political? Why you got to be so nasty?
Saying. And we'll just throw out Randy regime shirts all over the
Why
world.
Why you got to go that way?
We're saving the world one shirt at a time.
We definitely are. All right. Do we have a call? Sure. We'll take a call.
Another call. Let's do it.
Being told from the station. I don't even look anymore because we don't even give out the numbers. You dropped off.
Thanks for calling Tour de Pizza.
What's the number? 866-10-1340. I never give out the number.
Must be takeout or delivery.
Which would you like?
Both.
All right. How about this? If anybody calls in, not whoever that person was, if somebody calls in and they're in the St. Petersburg area, and I know this is a national show, but we'll hook up somebody in the St. Pete area with a pizza. Or just, you don't have to be in the St. Pete area. You got to come get it.
All right, come get it.
Is that cool?
On me. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we don't want to say dinner because they may eat like me, and you don't want to give away six pizzas.
A pizza on me.
A pizza. A large pizza with toppings of their choice.
I'll trade them.
Who are you going to trade them?
They can bring like some beer from the 1976 place over at Tampa Buck Stadium.
It's not what?
What's the Buck Stadium? The new bar with the new
it's
restaurant?
It's called Bar Number 76.
I saw a huge pretzel that they have.
It was massive.
How amazing was the pretzel?
The pretzel was good. I had some of the Cuban.
Okay.
Without the bread.
Cuban's a big thing in Tampa.
Well, yeah, that's where they pretty much invented it.
Oh.
You do know that I judge the Cuban festival every year.
Do you really?
You didn't know that?
No.
And they filmed me judging it because I have a very specific way to judge.
You are an expert at judging.
I am a licensed judge, but that's another story. I don't understand how people can like come to Torta Pizza, eat five slices of pizza, and then know which one they liked best.
Okay.
So what I do when I judge the Cuban sandwich festival is I take a bite or two of the first one.
Sure.
And I do have a funny story to tell you. So if I run out of time, remind me and we'll come back to it. So I take a bite or two of Cuban number one. I then take a bite or two of Cuban sandwich number two. I then determine which one of those two I like better. Let's say I like two better.
So it's like a bracketology.
So literally in front of me, I'll put two, the plate of two, and then the plate of one.
Okay.
Then I take a bite of the third one. Did I like it more than two? If yes, I move it to the front. If not, did I like it better than one? And if I'm not sure, I'll take a little nibble at one again.
All right.
Because my thing is, whoever I'm saying is the best, I want to make sure that's who I believe is the best.
You're comparing it best to best.
Right.
Right. At the time, at the current moment.
Which is
the same as fighting or any combat sport. You always want to see the best of the best at the time when they're both in their prime, not...
I want to see the best win.
All right.
The best win took a hit yesterday with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Stevie Y stepping down as general manager.
He did.
It's kind of a big jolt.
Sure.
Still be involved with the Tampa Bay Lightning, but I think eventually we'll move back to Detroit where his family is.
Okay.
And I think it's going to hurt. He helped move the Lightning considerably.
Sure.
That needle. But I definitely think it's going to hurt. Where's Florence at?
Coming towards the Carolinas, but who was the best team on Sunday? The Buccaneers.
Absolutely.
Came marching into New Orleans.
I'll tell you what, I went to the game. I'm in their press box. Their press box is open. We'll have to do it after. Just hold them there until the caller, till after the break.
Oh, we got a call.
Well, but we're at the top of the hour, and network thing.
Yeah, it's
you know, we definitely have to be on time. So I think we have to hit this break in the next minute. And I want to give the guy or girl, I don't even know who it is, female,
plenty of time. Yeah.
Enough time to tell us what they really think of you.
Please do,
because I'm sure it's somebody calling on hate for you.
Hey, just like Jared Brooks. I mean, any publicity is good publicity.
I don't know. That was, Jared did a good job right
he
there.
He did. Yeah. He did. I mean, he knocked himself out, got criticized, went national, went viral. And use it as a positive to get his name out there to take a fight on 4-day notice.
Well, so I saw something on his Book of Face or whatever talking, you know, where he was talking about the defense of not knocking yourself out.
Right.
So he kind of took a little jab at himself. Sure. And by doing that, it kind of hushed all the haters. Because if you can kind of joke or hate on yourself, why do you think I do it? Don't you? You can't rip me.
Yeah.
I rip myself.
Yeah, more than you can hurt me, I hurt myself.
And so I rip you because you don't rip yourself.
And Conan O'Brien has built a career on ripping himself.
Coco. It is all Coco or so. All right, so let's hit the top of the break for the national news. We'll take care of that when we come back. We'll hit the caller at 866-10-1340, then Justin Frazier at 315. All right, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Zone.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, face demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZ.